In the production, installation, and performance seminar at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, students of architecture and the arts, design and build a performance set for a visiting artist. This year, the performance with digital violinist Todd Reynolds takes place in a cavernous mausoleum of the industrial age, known around town as the Gas Holder Building. On March 24th to the 25th, the Schools of Architecture and the School of Humanities, Arts, and Social Sciences host the world premiere of Surround Sound. So you take the word sound,
exactly.
And then you go
surround
one,
it,
and then you go one S into it. You put a bracket, and you put around the word around, and then another bracket, and then you have O-N-D. That's how it. Just so visually you can understand what I'm trying to read. A performance that combines art, architecture, animation, hybrid violin, computers, and more. And it's absolutely terrific. Here now to tell us more about it are Michael Oatman, Sean Walson, and Todd Reynolds. Gentlemen, I thank you very much for being here.
Morning, Joe.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. Now, Todd, I asked this question to Ray early on, which is... I don't know what a digital violin is. But we heard. That's what we heard coming in.
Yeah, well, you sort of did. It's more of a description of what I do rather than an actual instrument. Well, let me explain. It's
please.
The way I describe it is...
I thought you'd help. Now you're only confusing me more.
Well, I'm in the middle here myself. Everything that we use in today's society is a bit of hybrid technology.
Yes.
Right? We still build houses in a lot of the ways that we used to. But
that's
we
changing.
Also, but we also build it very differently, right?
Right.
So my instrument that I use is a hybrid instrument of 17th century technology, which is a regular old wooden violin made in 1999, but still after that
yes.
old tradition.
Yes.
And I plug it into a laptop, which is a piece of 21st century technology.
Yes.
And so all the music that I make has to do with playing something, capturing it, recording it, altering it, playing it back, and being able to essentially compose in real time. So I'm making a type of what we would call new music, which I like to call present music, in real time, using an instrument which allows me to do so. And that's what I call a digital violin. It's also called sometimes an iFiddle. Or,
Oh, and you can pretty much call it whatever you want because you're making this up.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm not the only one. It's just my way of approaching the aesthetic.
So, Michael, how did this all come to be?
Well, many years ago, over 10 years ago, an acoustician named Chris Jaffe funded a special class at RPI called PIP. And this was about bringing together an architecture student body and an arts student body with two professors and going out in the world and finding a visiting artist with which to kind of develop a context for, a performance context. So the course is back, refunded by Chris Jaffe. He's going to be here this Friday, which is Saturday and Sunday, which is great. But essentially it's to bring a visiting artist in to present what they do to the students to get a dialogue going, and out of that begins to emerge a bunch of different paths that we might take, a bunch of different design paths, but eventually we have to settle on one. So the students proposed individual locations for a performance in Troy. I think we sent them out and they looked for, I think they looked at 80 sites in Troy. Finally, teams got the sites down to 4, an abandoned car wash, an abandoned public pool, Freer Park, and finally the Gas Holder Building, this 19th century marvel. And they decided that they wanted to work there based on the acoustics, based on Todd's love of the building. And we then went ahead and started collaborating with Sean Lawson's students.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but
sure.
did Todd have a say in where it was chosen, or is that part of the fun?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
In dialogue with the class the whole time.
It's been a complete interdisciplinary dialogue the whole time.
Yeah. So did you say, I don't think I can work on a pool?
No, I didn't say that at all. No, I didn't say that at all. But what I did say was, you know, March traditionally up here, because I've lived here for the past 6 years, it's usually a little cold
for
a pool,
right.
an outside venue. So,
we
did have those conversations.
Wash,
The car wash. And cool. So this is a really neat building. I mean,
it is, and I've performed here before, and it's I love the building, and I loved my experience. The last time I did perform here, it was very, very cold.
Now, when we left off Michael's story, he was just about to tell us how Sean Wasson got involved in this, the associate professor of arts. And Sean, so you come in, and how do you then take it in your direction?
We sort of do whatever we can. It's a really interesting kind of problem to work with architecture students in the sense that they're sort of building space and building buildings and building sort of sculptural elements, when in our section of arts that I'm working with, we're sort of time-based. And we're looking at sort of two-dimensional things and how do we work with two-dimensional art in sort of this three-dimensional context and get the two to work together with sound also coming at the same time. So in a lot of cases in video or animation, there's a lot of audio and sound that works together a lot, but to integrate sort of a sculptural large space component to this makes it really interesting, and a lot of kind of difficult questions come up that you have to resolve artistically to sort of get things to work.
I'll try not to make this flip. When these students come to you, like an architecture student, and they come to you and this three-dimensional and two-dimensional shift, I mean, at some ways, are you broadening their horizons, or are you letting them develop bad habits?
Well, yes. I think that kind of goes both ways.
Screws them up, right?
A little bit.
Well,
I think it's okay to let them kind of spin out of control and then sort of bring them back in again. I mean, you want to let them sort of have the chance to sort of say, oh, this is the biggest failure I've ever had ever. But then you say, yeah, but it's okay. We learn more from failures than successes anyway. So go ahead and let this happen. And then let's build up from that and keep going.
I think one of the beautiful things that has also happened in this project is that the students have come to realize, and we've come to be reminded, that animation and musical performance and architecture are really all time-based mediums. I mean, it's about the experience of something over time in various shiftings of space. To see how they begin to kind of retranslate the stuff that we're teaching them, how they turn it on its head, how they remix it, has been very exciting.
I'm not sure of this. I'd have to go back and check on the records. We've been doing the show almost 12 years, so I'm not 100% sure. But I think you're the first guest to come in with a pipe.
Let me clarify that.
I don't even know. What the hell is that? Is that an axle? What is it?
I'll make some sound with it.
It's a huge...
In my tradition of bringing in,
weapon.
Joe, visual things for the radio,
yes.
Like the last time I brought in that knife from an art project. I wanted to bring you something sort of the nature of the gas holder. And this is, as you can see, about a 3.5 foot long L bolt, which usually are maybe a couple of inches long.
Okay.
But this is the kind of scale of the engineering and the intensity of a building of the gas holder's sort of vintage. And we found several dozen of these in there, not exactly sure what they were for. And these are newer items, but they were clearly kind of designed to be a major structural element in something like a bridge or in poured concrete. And I think that one of the exciting things about this building is that we're presenting it as much as we're presenting the music and the visuals this time around.
Amen.
So it really is a kind of coming out party once again for the gas holder building.
So do you integrate that in what you're doing in the performance?
The building?
Well, the building and stuff like this.
Oh yeah. I mean,
there are new instruments.
Yes, yeah.
Quick,
yeah.
Built
the, yeah.
Into
I mean,
the
we don't want to do any huge spoilers, but there are a number
quick,
of things.
Quick, get the L bolt.
Yeah, it isn't quite like that. It's more like get the thing that's too big to be imagined to play something.
Yeah.
You know, there's some stuff that's going to go on that will amaze you that happens because the building is the building.
And how much of that is of the moment and is of organic, and how much is thought out and planned?
It is completely planned out and designed to an extent. We're creating. I just said two opposite things. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the round table.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Which is actually not round at all, but
no.
Drop like shape.
Yes.
Only an architect would notice. we've actually designed an environment and a time-based space for people to do, to experience things, to do things, to walk around. The building is vast, so this is not like you walk in and you see Todd Reynolds doing a performance type of thing.
Okay, you're not sitting down in a chair.
I'm not sitting down. It's sort of a movable feast. So within that, there's tons of freedom. There's tons of freedom for me to make music. There's tons of freedom for the audience to experience things, but yet they are also guided and confined to a certain degree, and then released to discover what they want to discover. So it's completely designed to be completely free.
Absolutely. And one of the first things that the students discovered when they walked into the site for the first time is that you can stand on one in one area, and then directly across 90 feet away, another person can stand, and you can talk in a normal voice, and you hear each other as if you're right next to each other. I think of it as Troy's Pantheon. Mm. I mean, it really, architecturally, right. It's very similar. Acoustically, it performs in a similar way, and we're hoping with any luck that we're going to kind of bring it up to iconic status again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's always the hope of this building. I mean, this building is...
Sean, did you roll your eyes?
Well, I mean, I'm sort of imagining in my head, it is kind of shaped like a drum. It has this sort of metalish roof on it that kind of acts like a drum in a way, yeah. Also.
Oh, it's a drum, right? Yeah.
Is it currently abandoned, or would it?
No. The Sage Brothers Painting Company use it as a storage place for their vehicles and their equipment.
Oh, okay.
And they have very generously over the years turned it over to dance events, concerts. As you know, Todd performed there once before.
Yeah.
I've done projects with students there several times over the past 15 years.
Okay.
And my hope is that eventually it will become a major performing venue.
I mean,
much
yeah.
like the Chuck Norris Auditorium, Linda Norris Auditorium.
You did it. You so did it.
Okay.
No, the couple of times,
a completely different auditorium, wouldn't it?
Yes. We see only martial arts performances.
Pyrotechnics.
Well done, Michael.
Walker Texas Whoops. Ranger Marathon at the Chuck Norris. Okay, so where was I? Oh, Sean. So where does took an ugly turn there, Michael.
Sorry.
So Sean, what do you think your students get out of it?
Most of them work really on computers doing animation. So for them to get out and sort of get into a whole completely different realm for them, it's outside, which is kind of a big step, and it's in the real world, and it's using your work in a very public context and sort of screened maybe on a screen or screened within sort of a theater where it's dark. It gets people to look at your work in a different way, and you have to think about how you present it in a different way. I think it's a great experience to get them out of sort of the normal kind of, I need to work in this very confined way. It's sort of freeing to say, okay, well, I guess I could work with my work in any kind of context if I could project it, if I could use it in combination with live performer, if I could use it in combination with a design space, if I could use it in combination with any other kind of thing, then maybe I can use my work in another sort of interesting way that's different. Maybe I could, instead of using the gas holder and working with a large team, then maybe on my own I could go and do some other type of artistic project where I project it on something that I design, as opposed to working on a large team. We're working on a different team.
Here's something that I'm bad at, which is asking a huge question at the very end of the segment where we only have a minute and a half. But how much of it is does the art or the architecture or the music ever suffer for the sake of the other, in the sense of, you know, musically, you could say, okay, I want to do this. And you say, okay, yes, but that would screw this up artistically or architecturally or vice versa. Do you know what I mean? I'm like,
sure.
So how do you all get along and make that and balance that?
I don't think it ever screws it up. I think that they push everything forward. I mean, these intersections
yeah.
are really the challenges of the best kind. I mean, for instance, you know, this... Our event is part of a big conference that's happening right now up at MPAC called Smart Geometry. And if you were to wander through, and I think you can do this on Saturday, there will be dozens of teams working in a collaborative way on the performance of buildings, on envelopes, on the intersection of art and video. And everybody's there sort of delighting in the fact that things are not working all the time, that they have to overcome these challenges, that they have to put these things together in unexpected and new ways. And I think that's really what we've done, or what we're trying to do down yeah. at the Gas Holder Project, is to bring these things together, see what happens, adjust them as need be. But really, we're looking for the totality to be greater than the parts.
Two performances, free and open to the public, will be held this Saturday, March 24th, and Sunday, March 25th at 7:30 p.m. For more information, you can visit Facebook and search Surround Sound. So sound and then put around right after the S. You'll figure it out. It's just go to Facebook and figure, put it surround sound. There you go. Michael Oakman, Sean Wasson, and Todd Reynolds, a great pleasure to have you guys here. Thank you very much, and best of luck this weekend. Sounds like a blast.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you very
Joe.
Much. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.